The more time that you spend with the Lord in prayer, the more you understand his heart and you understand his character, and the more you can hear his voice.
Hi, I'm Lori Harp, and this is my podcast. Like most women, I wear many hats. I am a nurse, a wife, a mother, a friend, an encourager, but most importantly, I am a child of the Most High God. For many years, I believed the struggles I faced were because I was doing something wrong. I would hate myself for not being perfect. Then one day, someone told me God loves me where I am. Yes, we all face struggles and we all have things to overcome, but with God, all things are possible. In this podcast, I want to unpack the many issues facing women today. There is nothing in this life, no mistake, no flaw, no scar, that is too much for God. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, let's discuss real life issues through the lens of God's love. Get ready, let's harp on it.
Hey guys, welcome back to Harp On It Podcast. I'm your host, Lori Harp. I hope that you guys have had a great week. It has been a very busy week for me. We are getting ready to re-up our lease on our home, and so we have been busy as little bees trying to get everything ready for a walkthrough with the realtor and make sure that everything is good to go so that we can re-up our lease. It was all stuff that needed to be done, but you know how life is. We always put off all of those things till we have some pressure to get them done. So my husband and I have been working diligently to get a few of the things taken care of around the house. And so honestly, I am exhausted from doing all of the little things like washing baseboards and just washing down cabinets and making sure all of the housekeeping stuff is done. I am so excited to bring this message to you guys this week. I have been really challenged lately with prayer, and the Lord has been just ministering to my spirit and encouraging me to promote my prayer life. And I'll be honest, when I first started this thought process, I was really kind of apprehensive because, to be honest, when I pray for people, it makes me feel extremely vulnerable, which I believe that's because your heart is open and you're talking to your Heavenly Father, and the people that are around you are privy of that conversation. And sometimes it can kind of feel like a really awkward intimacy takes place. And so I have always wanted to be one of those prayer warriors that could just get up and go before whomever and pray for whatever and not have the frustrating, debilitating, am I good enough thought process that I have been kind of dealing with. I'll be honest, it's been a challenge for me because I feel like I should be better at this than what I think I am. And so this week, as I was mulling over, talking over prayer and talking about these things, I have really challenged myself to try and take at least one opportunity every day to pray for somebody, just to push it out of my comfort zone. And it's not that I'm afraid to pray for people or that I'm limited in my abilities to pray for people. I understand that the word says in James that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much power. I understand that when we pray, we are going before the Heavenly Father and we are moving heaven on somebody else's behalf. So I do understand the validity of what prayer brings to the table. And I am so grateful that I have had the opportunity to pray for people that I've had. But I want to continue to up my game, up my abilities. I want to continue to push myself out of my comfort zone. And truthfully, if left to my own devices of what my comfort level would be, I honestly probably would just not pray for people, because I don't want to come across as somebody who prays for somebody that doesn't know what they're doing. So this week, as I went into the week, I had a really good friend who was really, really having a really tough day. And she was talking to me, and we're work buddies. And so she was like, I can't even get my work done. Every time I turn around, it's just a mess. And so I said, well, you know, let me pray for you, because that was the best thing I had to offer her, was to pray for her. And so I prayed what I didn't really think was a very eloquent prayer, but I did pray that the Lord would help untangle her from all of the wiles of the enemy that she has been entrapped in during the day, that's caused chaos and caused things to go awry for her. And so I just asked the Lord to put things back in order for her and to remove the ability of the enemy to continue to pester her. And so I prayed for her and went on about my day. And later on in that day, she texts me and she says, you'll never believe what a dramatic change that prayer made. Now, I'm not saying this to be grandiose in my abilities of prayer, because prayer works. Prayer is an anointed thing that we do when we get to go before the Father and we get to bring our requests to Him. And the Lord gives us power and authority in our prayers. It is not something that I'm doing that's so amazing, but it spurred me on in such a manner, because I was so excited that the prayer that the Lord allowed me to pray made a difference in somebody else's life. And so that just kind of gave me a little bit more encouragement. And then the next day I was able to pray with some patience and just offer up some comfort and some peace. And the next day the Lord just gave me another opportunity. And so every day this past week, the Lord has given me a tremendous opportunity to pray with people, and He continues to push me out of my comfort zone. That doesn't mean it is necessarily easy out there, because, you know, I started thinking about prayer and about different aspects of prayer and why it is that I'm so timid to do this. And I kind of decided that a lot of it was pride. A lot of it is that I want to sound eloquent. I want to sound like I know what I'm saying. I want to sound like a powerhouse prayer warrior. And the reality is, whenever we go before God and we open up our mouth to have a conversation with the Heavenly Father, it doesn't have to be all eloquent and wordy and all of these particular ways of saying things. What I am learning is to be honest and to be vulnerable, and then to pray the Lord's word in my prayers. And so this has really encouraged me this week and really moved me into a different place with my prayer life. And it's not that it's necessarily an easy process. It just is getting easier as I go. And the more I see the Lord respond to my prayer life and respond for these people when I pray for things on other people's behalf, and the Lord moves on that, and I get to be part of that process, it just encourages me to go deeper and go deeper and to just pray for people. I am hopeful that as time goes on, I can eventually bury this prideful timidity that I have picked up, thinking that I have to be a certain way when I pray. And that's not a reality. That's a lie from the enemy, because he doesn't want me to pray for people. The truth is, he wants to stop me working on God's behalf. So if he can convince me that I am not doing a good job, or that I look silly, or I'm foolish, then
that all stops that whole process, and Satan wins, or the enemy wins in that realm. But I don't want to allow him to win. So I want to encourage you guys. I don't know if you battle in the same area as I do when you go to pray publicly or you go to pray with other people and you feel like you have to be a certain way in order to do that. I just want to encourage you guys that God honors your prayer because of your relationship with him. He honors you because when he sees you, he sees his son, Jesus. And so we have the boldness to go into the throne room and make our request known to the Lord because we have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on us. Because when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, then we are taken and hidden in Jesus so that when the Lord looks at us, he sees his son. There is no need for you to feel like you are not valid or you don't have the authority or you don't have the ability or that you are somehow disconnected or you're underqualified to pray for people. This is all a big scheme of our enemy to keep us stifled and keep us silent. So this week, as I was getting ready to prepare my lesson, I read several stories in the Bible, and one story just kind of stood out to me, and it's the story of Paul and Silas when they go to jail, and how they, even though they are in jail, continue to pray and worship the Lord, and then how the Lord responded to that prayer and those situations where he made a way where there didn't seem to be a way, and then he made it better than it could have been. And so I'm coming to you guys today from Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through about 40. So Paul and Silas are out ministering and they're being followed by this soothsayer. Now this woman has a spirit of division in her that wants to just cause turmoil and chaos for Paul and Silas as they're out and doing God's ministry and ministering to people and praying for people and doing what God has told them to do. She keeps following them around and she keeps saying that she keeps speaking out and saying that they are preaching on God's behalf, but the way that she is doing it is continuing to irritate and just keep continuing to pester Paul. And so in about verse 18, we see this gets the best of Paul. So if you can understand that he's out ministering and doing what God wants him to do, and this woman is just irritating him and causing chaos and causing a lot of extra noise to be around. And so Paul gets frustrated and he turns to the woman and he says, "I command thee in the name of Jesus to come out of her." And he came out that same hour. Now, you would think that this would be a celebratory moment, that this would be something that would be fabulous because this woman has just been delivered from a demonic possession. But what we find is that by her being delivered from this demonic possession, she could no longer do the soothsaying that she was doing and telling people's futures and fortunes. And so then her masters are really angry because they have lost their livelihood with this woman. I'm in chapter 19. And when her masters saw that their hopes of gains were gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers and brought them to the magistrates, saying, "These men, being Jews, do not do exceeding trouble in our city and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans." And the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrates rent the clothes of Paul and Silas and commanded them to be beaten. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison and put a jailer in charge of them to make sure they were safe.
So I'm down to chapter 24. And so the jailer was in charge of them. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners all heard him. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bonds were loosened. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison door open, he drew his sword and went to kill himself. That was a common practice, because if the prisoners all left, he would be killed because he was not doing his job. But Paul cried out in a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and all of their household. Okay. So he's been beaten. Just to take this for a minute, Paul and Silas have been beaten, and then they've been thrown in prison. And so I'm just going to say that I'm not sure that I would be this gracious. I'm not sure that I would not be pouting in a corner or licking my wounds, feeling sorry for myself because I did nothing wrong. Paul didn't do anything wrong, but now he's thrown in prison and after being beaten, and instead of feeling sorry for himself, Paul and Silas begin to sing and worship the Lord and pray to the Lord, and a great earthquake comes and it shakes the whole prison, and everybody has an opportunity to run away. But Paul and Silas don't leave. Now, again, I'm not sure that given my shackles falling off of me and the gate of the prison opening, that I wouldn't go as well. But I want to say here that Paul and Silas are so in tune with the Lord and what the Lord's desire is to promote the gospel that they see the bigger picture. They understand that if they leave, that's not going to help anything. But if they stay, they can continue to preach the gospel, because Paul is all about preaching the gospel. You guys remember, he was the best of the best Jewish man when he was going out and capturing Christians and tormenting them and putting them in prison and even killing them. And then he gets met by the Lord himself. He gets a personal encounter with Jesus Christ, and his whole world is radically changed. And he now understands who Jesus Christ is and what an impact it made on his life. And so now his whole life, his whole mission is about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ and allowing people to know Jesus. So when he is able to run free and walk away and get out of the situation, Paul doesn't move, because he knows that God wants him to minister to this prison guard and not only save the prison guard, but the prison guard's entire family. And so they were able to lead the prison guard to the Lord, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him. And then he took them the same hour that night and washed their stripes or washed their wounds. And then they were baptized. And Paul and Silas are doing this amazing thing, and they're still, you know, following what God wants them to do more than what they want to do. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his household. And when the day the magistrates sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go," the keeper of the prison told Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace." But Paul kind of stops the process here, because again, there's another bigger picture here. So he wants to make sure that the magistrates know that they have done this against
a good reason, or they've done it unlawfully, or they've done it in a way that they should not have put him in prison. And so he goes and he says, but the magistrates don't know that Paul is Roman. And so when they find out that Paul is Roman, they come to him and they ask him to leave the city and to go. So Paul is also working on getting his namesake back in place, because he wants people to understand that he didn't do anything wrong. In fact, these magistrates that had beat him and put him in prison were wrong. And so then they went out of the prison and they went to a friend of theirs, Lydia, who had just recently been saved a couple of chapters before. And they went and saw their brethren at Lydia's house. And then they were comforted. And I'm sure they had a lot of people that were praying for them. And then Paul goes on to continue his mission work and continue ministering to people and spreading the gospel to anybody who will listen. I want to tune in on a few things here. When we see Paul and Silas praying and having that communion with the Lord, I wanted to pull out a couple of things, three different things that I really think that prayer did for Paul and Silas. One thing was prayer brings us closer to God. In 1 John 15:14-15, it says, "This is the confidence we have approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we will have what we have asked of him." In other words, there's confidence in knowing that when we pray, the Lord hears us. And when he hears us, he leans in. And if it's according to his will, we're going to get what it is that we're asking. Now, this doesn't mean there's a blanket claim it situation where you can just claim something and God's going to automatically give it to you. God is still God. So there are still things at play that we don't understand when we pray for things. And so sometimes God moves the dial a little bit further down the way and says, well, yes, this is according to my will, but I don't want it right now for you. I need you to wait a little longer before these things come in. And sometimes the answer is just no. Sometimes what we think we want or what we think would really make a difference or change things is really not what the Lord desires for our life. So at the end of the day, when we are praying, it brings us closer to the Lord and we have a communion with him. And so we understand his voice. We understand who he is. You guys, I've been married to my husband for 27 years and we can almost communicate without saying a lot of words. There are things that we know about each other and we understand about each other because we've spent so much time together. The more time that you spend with the Lord in prayer, the more you understand his heart and you understand his character, and the more you can hear his voice. When he returns his answers to you, you know that it's him because you have an understanding. You have a relationship with him. God is not just this big God in the sky. He wants to have a communion with you. He wants to, just like he did with Adam and Eve in the garden, he wants to come and walk with you and spend time with you and commune with you. It's not just about him being huge and untouchable. It's about us having a relationship and understanding who God is and knowing that he hears us and he's going to answer us according to what he feels is best. Now remember, Jeremiah 29:11 says, "I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you." God is not waiting to throw lightning bolts at us. He wants to bless us and help us grow to become more Christ-like. And so by being in prayer on a daily basis, or sometimes if you're like me, I need prayer all the time. And so some days I feel like I'm praying all the time because I need him to help me to get through a situation or to adjust my attitude or to calm me down or give me peace or those things that are all attributes of the Lord that he gives me when I have a prayer life. He also guides us when we pray. Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me and I will answer you, tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know." When we ask the Lord for wisdom and for knowledge and understanding in trying to pursue a situation, God tells us right here that he wants to give us the answers. He wants to tell us what's happening, and he wants to have communion with us. He doesn't want to keep us in the dark. That's the enemy's trick, is to keep us in the dark and keep us floundering. God wants to promote light and promote direction in your life. Now, I get it. There are times that I just feel like I just can't hear what the Lord is saying. And sometimes in those moments when I can't really hear what he's saying, I just stand still and I continue doing what I know to do. And I continue honoring and praying and beseeching God, but I don't move until I really know that the Lord is moving me. And sometimes that takes a little bit of a process. Sometimes it's not a matter of going to the throne room and saying, "God, I need this, this, and this." And within the next 5 or 10 minutes, I have those things. Sometimes it's a process. And I go to the Lord and I say, "This is what I feel like I need." And he says, "Okay, I hear you. Now let's talk some more." And sometimes it takes a while. The truth is that God is God, and I'm not. So I have to, at the end of the day, trust that God knows what he's doing on my behalf. And again, I hold on to some of those scriptures like Jeremiah 29:11, and knowing that God is constantly working good on my behalf. I also wanted to pull out here Matthew 7:7-12. This is one of my favorite scriptures. And it talks about how when we ask our Father for something, and how he gives it to us. And I'm just going to read the passage. It says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. The one who knocks, the door is opened. Which of you, if your son asked you for bread, would give him a stone? Or if he asked you for a fish, would give him a snake? If you then, through your evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more does the Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask them from him?" So I just love that passage because, you know, I'm a mama. I understand when my kids come to me and honestly, Matthew just came down the hall a little bit ago and he says, "I'm hungry." And it wasn't like, "Well, I'm sorry, you're hungry, move on." It was like, "I'm hungry, Mom. What can I have to eat?" And it immediately moves me to take care of his needs. So, of course, I just ordered pizza for him, but he's happy as a clam, right? My point is, I didn't look at him and say, "Well, it stinks that you're hungry, but I ain't got nothing for you." No, Mama's heart was moved and I immediately found him something to eat. And the Lord is saying, how much more does he give us good things when he is perfect and pure and holy and we are evil and wrong in our intent and we're human and we're flawed and we give good gifts? How much more is the Heavenly Father going to give us? This is such a beautiful picture of how much the Lord loves us and wants to take care of us. So when we go before him and we say, Lord, I need some direction, he's like, let me help you. Let me show you where you need to go. The other thing that was really evident to me in this story was the power of prayer. And I mentioned this scripture verse earlier. It's one of my favorite verses, James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins one to another. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. And the prayers of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Paul and Silas understood who they were in Christ. When they started praying, they knew that the Lord was going to move on their behalf. Not because Paul and Silas are all that in a bag of chips, but because Paul and Silas are righteous because of the work that Jesus did in their lives. Because of that, we have great authority and power in our prayers. Because we speak and the Lord hears us and he honors those prayers and he moves on our behalf. Because again, remember, when he sees us, he sees his son. And so we're able to pray in the authority of Jesus Christ and ask things according to Jesus's name. Because you guys, he's got all the clout. He went down into the pits of hell and delivered the captives and conquered Satan. He conquered sin and death. He took away the sting of sin and death. And he did all of that on our behalf. So when we pray in Jesus' name and we walk into the throne room, we don't walk in as just Lori Harp, just a piddly little human. We walk in with the authority of Jesus Christ because we're praying in his name. And he goes before us in the heavenly realms. And when things come up and the accuser comes and says things against us, Jesus stands up and he goes, no, they belong to me. That's one of mine. Jesus is constantly working on our behalf as well. One of the greatest things that I believe we see in this story is the fact that prayer gives you peace in the middle of a torrid, crazy storm. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, do not be anxious for anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and minds in Christ Jesus. You guys, this is so good. Because so many times we have the world just chaotically moving around us and it's causing all of this turmoil. And for some reason, we can sit in a position of peace. It's kind of like sitting in the eye of a F5 tornado. We're surrounded by all this noise and this wind, but the Lord gives us peace that passes all understanding. Why? Because we asked him to come into our situation. And just like Paul and Silas, the Lord honored their prayer and came into the situation. And then he took this bad situation and he made it good because the jailer was able to accept the Lord as his personal savior and not only save him, but save his entire household. What a beautiful picture of restoring and how when Paul and Silas listened to God's direction and they had peace in a bad situation and yet they knew the power of their prayer and they prayed and the Lord honored them and they were delivered from their situation. Now, it wasn't instantaneous. It wasn't immediate. And they still went through the trials and they still went through the tribulation, but the Lord was with them the entire time. I want to encourage you guys as you get
out in the world this week and you get going in your daily events and your jobs and taking care of kids and doing all of the busy stuff that we do, I want to encourage you to take time to pray with other people. Step out of your comfort zone and take a moment to pray with other people, and then watch how God is going to honor your prayers and how much blessing He is going to bestow upon you for stepping out in faith and moving in a direction that you may not feel comfortable with. I want to wrap this up with a couple of things. You are not underqualified to pray. You don't have to have special words. You don't have to have a special way of saying things. The Lord honors your prayers because the Lord loves you. And He wants to have that relationship with you and that communion with you. Don't feel like you have to be something that you're not, because the Lord has called you just as you are, just the way that you are, with all of your flaws, with all of your things. The Lord knows what He's doing. He chose you. He anointed you. He purposed you to go out and do the things that He's called you to do. Don't sit back and allow the enemy to lie to you and tell you that your prayers are not fervent and they are not going to avail much power. Because my Bible says that the fervent prayers of a righteous man availeth much power, and we are righteous because of the price that Jesus Christ paid for us. And when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we get that righteousness, and so we can walk boldly into the throne room and talk to our Father God, and He will move on our behalf. I love you guys. I hope this helped. I hoped it brought out some ideas for you and showed you that you don't have to be perfect in your prayer. You just got to do it. I love you guys. Have a great week. Thank y'all so much for tuning in today. If you want to stay in the know for all things Harp Ministries, check out our website at harpministries.org. In there, you'll see the latest episodes of Harp On It, upcoming events, and our newly released book entitled How Can I Leap Tall Buildings When I Can't Get My Tights On? Thank you again for tuning in today. See y'all next week.